Okay, it's 19 January. It's my daughter Tangerine's birthday. Happy birthday, Tangerine. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Wednesday CG Report, The Real Insurrection. That is about all we're going to talk about today. Okay, I got some articles here for you concerning the state of our nation, the state of how things are going in the world, and it's pretty much all centered on one general theme, the real insurrection. I'm lacking a little bit of energy today. Whatever kept my wife out of church on Sunday, Uncle Charlie's got, so I apologize. I'm not my usual spunky self, but on a spunk meter, I'm a 3 out of a 10, so I'm not really firing on all pistons. Anyway, first article, Epoch Times. Everybody remembers Ashley Babbitt, the lady that was part of the insurrection to take over the Congress of the United States of America and overthrow an election that was stolen from Donald Trump. Yes, that Ashley Babbitt. Babbitt tried to stop attack on Capitol Speaker's lobby video shows. Ashley Babbitt desperately tried to prevent rioters from vandalizing the doors leading to the Speaker's lobby at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, even stepping between one troublemaker and police officers guarding the doors. According to video analysis, that's what happened. She was murdered for getting in the way of the agenda of the left. That's what happened. They didn't like what she was doing, and they murdered her. The government of the United States of America killed a veteran of the U.S. military. They murdered her. GOP video. Biden says Americans who oppose his radical election overhaul bills are domestic enemies. Listen, it's Biden that's the traitor to this nation, and he is a part of the insurrection that's going on. They didn't win this election. We know very well that they didn't. They stole it. That's being quashed by the news media and by everybody else. But yeah, I think it's pretty evident at this point that there's no way on this planet that that brain dead guy could have pulled this off. Rather, they stole this election. But despite that, from the Gateway Pundit, profoundly unpresidential, McConnell rips Biden from Senate floor for labeling millions of you and me, millions of Americans, domestic enemies. That's all he has is projection, because he is the insurrectionist. He is the traitor, along with all of the people that are on his side. As a matter of fact, I'd go so far as to say that almost every single Democrat in this nation is a communist at this point. They're so brainwashed by what's been going on that they believe these lies. And even if they don't, you know, normally feel this way, they are just believing the lies. The left has now gone over to Commieville. All right, next from Newsmax, Representative Boebert, we have a socialist government running our nation. Yeah, I would say so. Even further than that, they're communists. Tweeting as Biden delivered a voting rights speech in Georgia, the Colorado Republican said, Biden is expected to endorse ending the Senate filibuster today, which obviously didn't happen, but I'm giving you some background on how things are going in the past 10 days. Ending once and for all any assumption that he is a moderate or a centrist. Listen, this is the same dolt that just a while ago, when he was the senator, was in there saying how we need to protect the filibuster and it's an American institution and all of these kind of things. We have a socialist government running our nation, and they want to destroy it faster than the rules allow. Democrats and communists are exactly the same at this point. I've said that. I'll say it again probably 10 times before we finish today. They're just the same thing. Take the Democrats, put them in with the commies. They're one melting pot. From a GOP video again, despite Democrats using it 327 times in 2020 alone, Kamala Lama Ding Dong Harris calls Senate filibuster arcane. They used it just this week as well. And if you haven't seen it, you can go back. I don't know who the senator is, some tall, lanky guy, a GOP. He read Why We Should Keep the Senate Filibuster. It's an American institution, and it's a great speech. Oh, it was written powerfully, and he delivered it really well. And then at the very end, he said, these are not my words. These are the words of Chuck Schumer, when he argued that we needed to maintain this in the Senate. These people are just hypocrites. They're Democrats. They're just disgusting. That's all there is to it. I have nothing nothing good to say about the left in this nation anymore. I'm sorry. I know I'm a negative person at this point about these issues, but I'm positive about Jesus, and that is where my focus is. All of this is to just let you know what's going on in the nation. From the Daily Signal, breaking: Biden admin making lists of religious vaccine objectors. Now, I know you may have seen some of these articles. I'm just making a comprehensive list of things for you to process. I'm putting it together so you can see the attack that is going on, the insurrection that is being waged against our nation. A tiny administrative agency in the D.C. area announced a new policy that will likely serve as a model for a whole-of-government push to assemble lists of Americans who object on religious grounds to a COVID-19 vaccine. Might as well just send my name up there right now. Just write it on a piece of paper and say, add me to the list, because, one, I am religious about it, and, two, it's a death vaccine, and I don't think anybody should be getting it at this point. And, three, why would anybody get something that does not work? It doesn't work. The death vax does not work, okay, except for killing people. The Pretrial Services Agency for the District of Columbia, a federal independent entity that assists officers in D.C. courts in formulating release recommendations and providing supervision and services to defendants awaiting trial, announced a new record system that will store the names and personal religious information of all employees who make religious accommodation requests for religious exception from the federally mandated vaccination requirement. The announcement does not explain why the agency needs to create this list, except to say that it will assist the agency in collecting, storing, dissemination, and disposal of employee religious exemption request info collected and maintained by the agency. The announcement, in other words, what they're going to do is they're collecting this information so that they can tell the people on the opposition that these people have a religious exemption. Then they can take us, round us up, and have a shot. That's what it means. The announcement also does not say what the agency will do with this information. I just told you, so you don't need to guess, after it is decided on an employee's religious accommodation request. And neither does the announcement explain why the Biden admin chose to test this policy in an agency with a majority black staff who are both more religious and less vaccinated than other groups. The reason why is because they are racists and they want to push this on the black people, get as many of them killed by the death vax, and the rest of them that don't get the death vax, they want to take them out and they want to shoot them. This is their agenda. Get rid of blacks, even though they're the ones that are pushing this black agenda. It's only a wedge to divide the nation. That's all it is. So much for the president's commitment to racial equality. We're starting to suspect that Biden is not keeping his promise to have the most transparent admin in history. Anybody that thought that from the beginning was adult. This lady, Sinema, out in Arizona, is finally waking up to this. She said, I voted and supported the Biden administration because he said he'd be transparent. That is not a smart human being, but she is developing gray matter even as we speak, and she's starting to make good decisions. Hopefully she will just depart from that party altogether and come over to the other side of the aisle. Had Biden announced, for example, that the Department of Labor intended to adopt this policy, it would be big news. The Federal Register, where announcements like this are made, would be flooded with comments that the department would have to address. That would, of course, delay the policy's rollout. With the Pretrial Services Agency, Biden is likely expected that the policy would land quickly and without a splash. As it is, the notice of a new announcement provides less than, get this, 30 days before public comment. Biden may not be winning points for transparency, but he's doing his best to win first place in subjecting Americans with sincerely held religious beliefs to differential treatment. This is the new Stasi. All are traitors to our nation, and every one of them needs to be rounded up. They need to be tried. They need to be convicted, and they need to do whatever you do with traitors. Depending on what level of their trading is, take them out and do it. Okay, Epic Times. Contradicting the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice repeats unfounded claim of rising school board violence. Assistant U.S. Attorney General Olson said during a congressional hearing on domestic terrorism that there's been an increase in violence against educators, directly contradicting DHS data. He lied right to the Congress. The hearing captured headlines due to DOJ officials refusing to answer questions about Ray Epps, the January 6, 2021 protest participant. who some have alleged to be a federal asset. But Olson, the head of DOJ's National Security Branch, also made unsupported claims about increasing school board violence. Olson was responding to questions from Senator Chuck Grassley about why Attorney General Garland, another traitor, is devoting counterterrorism resources to investigate protesting parents committing violence against school board members. As the Attorney General's memo indicated, there has been an increase in violence and threats of violence against individuals who serve in positions of public trust. I would not call school board members at this point in our history people of public trust at all. They're all lefties, and this is an agenda. That's all it is. These people should not be in the school board, and from now on out, they need to be taken out of the school board, and then what we need to do is get conservatives in there. Oh, by the way, did you see what this guy in Virginia is doing, the governor? Somebody that's in Virginia told me, well, he's kind of a rhino and he's not going to make any big changes. That has not panned out. He's gone in there and he's appointed people that are firing lefties left and right. Can I say that? Left and right, lefties left and right. I guess so. As long as you're firing them, just get rid of them. Forward, backward, up, down, I don't care. Just fire them. But he's also signing bills that are just fantastic. This guy, he was underestimated, or he understands the movement in this nation towards the right because of people like DeSantis, and he is grabbing on while he can. Whatever he's doing, I hope he continues to do it. We'll go on. School board members, teachers, and other public officials, and this is a serious concern, Olson said. This statement, however, contradicts, meaning he lied to Congress, DHS statistics. Garland is a traitor. Olson is a traitor. These people should be tried, convicted, and punished as traitors. From the Epoch Times, Biden's education secretary allegedly requested a domestic terrorism letter from school board's group. Yes, it's true. The education secretary has been said to have done this. Newly surfaced emails suggest that the U.S. DOE might have played a more important role than previously thought in the creation of a highly controversial letter, which likened concerned parents to domestic terrorists. These little old ladies and, you know, young ladies with little kids, and they're all terrorists. These are the people that need to be rounded up because they don't follow the agenda of these lefties, these communists in the government right now. In a letter, and they cite the PDF sent to Biden on September 29, 2021, the NSBA characterized disruptions at school board meetings as a form of domestic terrorism and hate crime. The organization also urged the federal government to invoke counterterrorism laws to quell angry mobs of parents with little kids, angry mobs seeking to hold school officials accountable for teaching Marxist critical race theory and for imposing COVID-19 restrictions such as mask mandates on their children. Once again, this guy in Virginia is doing investigations into the Loudoun County, you know, the perverts that are in that school board. They're starting investigations on them, and they are going to weed these miscreants out. They're going to get rid of them out of Virginia. Thank goodness that they elected that Republican governor. Just 5 days later, on October 5th, U.S. Attorney General Garland issued a memo directing federal law enforcement to help address an alleged disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against teachers and school leaders. The memo remains in effect despite the NSBA, which, another thing, I saw this morning, I may mention it on Sunday, the NSBA may fold. They have lost a lot of support, many, many states, and they are not doing well and good. It would be great to see them just close up shop and be replaced by people that actually care about the education of our children. We'll go on. Despite the NSBA having since apologized for and rescinded the letter. So the letter was rescinded by them, but Garland will not rescind it up there, even though it was based on a lie. According to email exchanges obtained by advocacy group Parents Defending Education, the NSBA letter appears to be a response to a request for information by Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona. Yes, the Secretary of Education asked for that letter to be written. On October 5th, NSBA board member Marnie Maldonado sent an email, they cite the PDF, to fellow board member Christy Sweat, asking her whether the NSBA had gone through all the correct procedures before sending the letter to Biden. I'm very concerned about the process by which the statement was made and the tone that essentially allowed the White House to direct the Attorney General to consider members of our community domestic terrorists. They are the terrorists. They are the insurrectionists. They are trying to overthrow this government, but they're projecting. That's what's going on here. Maldonado wrote, adding that she wanted the NSDA to focus on civility. In response, Sweat said she agreed that there were communication issues within the NSBA. She also mentioned that Chip Slavin, then interim director of the NSBA, told officers he was writing a letter to provide information to the White House from a request by Secretary Cardona. In an interview with Fox News, PDE President Nicole Niley indicated that the letter Cardona allegedly requested and the domestic terrorism letter are the same thing. Should this allegation be true, and it probably is, it would reveal that this admin's pretextual war on parents came from the highest levels. Attorney General Garland unequivocally stated that he based his memo on the NSBA's letter, which in turn mobilized the FBI and U.S. attorneys. She said, if Secretary Cardona was truly involved in this ugly episode, it is a significant breach of trust. It is an insurrection. That's what it is. And he should be held accountable. He will not be, at least until the Republicans move in. The new information comes amid questions over the Biden admin's involvement in the creation of the NSBA letter, which still serves as the basis of a series of actions taken by the Justice Department. Biden, Garland, and all of the left are traitors. They are insurrectionists. They need to be brought to justice. This is what needs to happen. From the Epoch Times, Justice Department creates special unit to tackle domestic terrorism. Yes, the Justice Department is establishing a specialized unit focused on domestic terrorism, its top national security official said. You know that this is going to be targeted at white people that don't like the government. That's what it's all about. Matthew Olson, the Assistant Attorney General of the Department's National Security Division, told a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee that based on the assessment of the intelligence community, the U.S. faces an elevated threat from domestic violent extremists, like the guy that just went down to the synagogue and, you know, attacked a bunch of Jewish people while they were in there. And they, thank goodness they took him out. But that's what happened with him. He described these extremists as individuals in the United States who seek to commit violent criminal actions in furtherance of domestic, social, or political goals. That sounds like Antifa and BLM to me. That is exactly what they do, but this is not about them. This is about little ladies that have children in school that don't want their children being exposed to perverts and perversion in the school. He noted that FBI investigations into suspected domestic violent extremists have more than doubled since the spring of 2020. Not because they've been more domestic violence threats and actions. It's because they are investigating people that should not be investigated instead of investigating Antifa and BLM. We have seen a growing threat from those who are motivated by, here it is, racial animus. You dumb white people. You are domestic terrorists simply because of the color of your skin. As well as those who ascribe to extremist, here it is, anti-government and anti-authority ideologies. Nobody is anti-government, anti-authority, except when it's a bunch of people that are insurrectionists that want us to live under communism. That's what this is about. They want to shut us up. Olson said that investigating and prosecuting domestic violent extremists is among the department's highest priorities. He said federal prosecutors at the 94 U.S. attorneys' offices work on the front lines in close partnership with FBI Joint Terrorism Task Forces, which have the lead in all terrorism investigations. At Maine Justice, the National Security Division was created in 2006 to integrate the department's national security work nationwide. We have a team of counterterrorism attorneys, all whom are equipped to work on both domestic and international terrorism prosecutions, Olson said, adding that he has decided to create a domestic terrorism unit to augment our existing approach. This group of dedicated attorneys, which are going to be all lefties that hate this nation, that love communism, and that hate you because you don't like them, will focus on the domestic terrorism threat, helping to ensure that these cases are properly handled and effectively coordinated across DOJ and around the country. The U.S. Criminal Code defines domestic terrorism as violence intended to coerce or intimidate a civilian population and to influence government policy. While there is no single federal crime labeled domestic terrorism, the Criminal Code does define domestic terrorism. The definition provides us with expanded authorities, including enhancing sentencing for terrorism offenses. This is the KGB all over again. These are traitors. These are communists. These people are bad news. They're just bad people. They are attacking the foundations of this nation, the people that love this nation, the people that have served for and died in this nation. Their memories, they're not attacking the dead people, okay? They're dead, but they're attacking the memory of those dead people that died for this nation, etc. That's who they are attacking. Zero Hedge, are you a terrorist? Take this 50-question quiz and find out. Well, I got to tell you, I think I probably would qualify according to this quiz. This is a article originally from Michael Snyder via the mostimportantnews.com. Could you be the kind of person that the government is looking for? The U.S. Justice Department has just announced that it will be creating a brand new unit, the article I just read, to counter domestic terrorism. And they are going to need something to show for all the time, money, and energy that they are going to be putting into this new project. You may be tempted to think that they will be going after the people that have rioted and burned buildings hundreds of times all across this nation over the past couple of years, but that simply is not going to happen. Instead, they are telling us that this new unit will specifically target extremist, anti-government, and anti-authority ideologies. So if you have been critical of the Biden admin, any of our government agencies, or any of our top public health officials, you could be in really big trouble. To help you out, I have created a 50-question quiz to help you determine if you are a terrorist. So get ready. I'm going to ask these questions, and then you can answer to yourself, yes, I'm a terrorist, and I need to go to some type of, place where they'll have me rethink things and recondition my brain or whatever. But here we go. Most of these questions are based on statements made by Biden admin officials or on specific government documents that have been publicly revealed. In other words, the things that they have actually said in the government, whether it's from Biden officials or whether it's from things that were put in writing by these people. He's just taking these and turning them around into a questionnaire to determine how domestic terrorist you are. So here we go. 1. Do you ever criticize the government? Okay, I failed that one. 2. Have you ever been banned, shadow banned, or censored on social media for a political opinion that you expressed? Oh, I guess I had before I left social media. I guess that qualifies me. 3. Are you a parent? Well, yeah, but my kids are grown up. That can't be held against me, can it? 4. Do you attend school board meetings? Actually, no, I never did that. I went to our children. We sent them to a private Christian school. We had to eke by just to make the money to do it. But I was not going to put them in Philippi Shores Elementary School when we came back from Tadika UE Kindergarten in Malaysia, where they were speaking 3 languages. They were doing plus and minus and even starting on multiplication. And we got them back to first grade in Philippi Shores Elementary School, and they put them on crayons. And I said, this isn't going to work. So I didn't really go to school board meetings, but I suppose you could, clue me in or count me in with people that are like school board meeting attendees. 5. Have you ever expressed concern about the education of your children at a school board meeting? Never really had to. I guess I'm safe on that one. 6. Do you believe in conspiracy theories? Well, you know what? Everything is a conspiracy theory. Pretty much everything on this planet. No, I'm not a flat earther, but yes, I do believe that the election was stolen, and that is a conspiracy theory. It's, evolution for crying out loud. It's a theory, the theory of evolution. It's never been proven. It never will be proven, but you're a conspiracy theorist if you disagree with evolution. Okay, so I qualify there too, and I bet you do too. 7. Are you suspicious of the FBI? At this point, I'm suspicious of every one of them, not just in general, all of them. 8. Do you know who Ray Epps is? If you don't, he's the... Oh, wait a minute. I'm telling you, that means that I'm also guilty of number 8. Oh, my gosh. Ray Epps is the guy that was instigating, fomenting rebellion against the United States of America prior to and during the January 6th parade that was happening. And he is certainly, although it hasn't been proven, he is certainly somebody that was paid by either the Biden admin, the left, or the FBI to foment this insurrection. So yes, I know who he is. I'm guilty of that. 9, do you wonder why Ray Epps has never been arrested? I certainly do. Oops, I just made myself guilty again. 10, are you unvaccinated? Come check my arms. There's no poke holes in there. But that's actually not true because I was in the U.S. military, and when you go in 1984, they line you up with a bunch of people. Okay, and here's what they do. They got like 10 stations, and they're on both sides of you, and they've got these guns. They shoot the vaccine into you. It's not a needle. They just shoot it into you, and they say, now do not flinch, because if you do, you're going to tear your skin as it shoots into you. And I've got one flinch because, you know, I wasn't ready for it, and yes, so I've got one, but I got lots of holes in me. I have been vaccinated, so they can't really hold that against me unless you're just talking about the coronavirus, and that's probably what they're talking about. One other thing about the military. When we got vaccinated, you have all these people lined up, right? I'm scrawny little Charlie. Not real short, but I'm scrawny. Same weight as I am today, 141 pounds, okay? But we also had these really big guys, big, strong, bulky guys, and little guys. And guess who always passed out as they were getting their vaccinations? Yes, the Schwarzeneggers. They just go over like bowling pins. It was unbelievable to watch. They could not handle their vaccines. Their vaccine journey did not go well as they went along the path. Okay, from number 11. Have you ever questioned the efficacy of the COVID vaccines? If you don't know that about me, you haven't been watching these reports. I said it at the beginning of this one. So if you just clicked on, if you don't know the answer to that, I will say it again. They do not work. They don't work. Okay, the vaccines do not work, except in killing people. They do that very well. They give, you know, sports people myocarditis and other people Bell's palsy, like Newsom out in California. He hid for a week. It's because he had Bell's palsy, drool running down his face and his eye drooping and all that. Yes. So I do question the efficacy of vaccines. So I'm, you know, I got one that I'm not guilty of so far. 12. Do you have a negative opinion of Dr. Fauci? I have some words I'd like to say about Fauci right now, and they're not good. 13, would you consider yourself to be a constitutionalist? Well, seeing as how the Constitution is the founding document of this nation, and I believe that the founding document of this nation is to be held sacred, then yes, I'm a constitutionalist. Just like the Word of God is the founding document of our faith, if you're a Christian, okay? So, if you're not reading the Word of God, then how can you know what you're supposed to do in relation to God? Okay, same thing with the Constitution. If you don't know what the Constitution says, then guess what? You are just one of these sheep that's being led along life's path, and you may be following the left pretty soon and getting communized. Number 14, do you believe in individual liberties? Well, let's see. We've got 10 amendments plus all of the other amendments that came later. The 10 amendments are known as anybody? Yes, you got it. The Bill of Rights. That person right there with the purple hair. Bill of Rights. Okay? So we have individual liberties. These are given to us by the document which established this nation, the U.S. Constitution. So I'm guilty of that. 15. Do you know what the 10th Amendment says? Anybody? Yes! Hey, I'm giving you a ride on this plane today. Okay? States' rights. That's correct. I'm guilty of that. 16, have you ever referred to anyone in the Democrat Party as a communist? Let me see. Have I done that? 17, have you ever referred to any public official as a globalist? Well, if I haven't, which I know I have, but just in case, they are all globalists. They are communists that want to have a worldwide communist system, meaning a global system of communism. Commie, okay? 18, do you know what the Great Reset is? Well, yeah, that's when the elevator stops working and you push the button a bunch of times. Oh, no, that's actually called L-acceleration. If you push the button more than once, you are an L-accelerator. The Great Reset is when you have to reset the breaker and then push the button. That's the Great Reset. Okay, 19. Would you consider yourself to be an opponent of the LGBT agenda? Well, you got to be pretty perverse if you are not. That's all I can say. So I guess that answers the question kind of in an offhanded way. 20, have you ever said anything on social media that was critical of illegal immigration? Go watch some of our reports. 21, Have you ever referred to yourself as a patriot? I don't know if I have, actually. I've watched the movie The Patriot by, Mel Gibson, a lot of times. I really like that. But I will now claim myself to be a patriot. I love this nation. I love what it stands for. I'm talking about the nation that should be based on the Constitution. So, yes, I'm a patriot. I'm guilty of that. Number 22, have you ever used the wrong pronouns when addressing a member of the trans community? I'm not sure if I've ever talked to a trans person, but they will be called he if they are a biological male, and they will be called she if they are a biological female, and that's pretty much all I'm going to call them. I'm not going to kowtow to that nonsense. That will not happen. So I guess I'm guilty by association, or what is the movie, Minority Report? I'm guilty in advance. They know I'm going to do it. So take me out and shoot me. Okay, verse 23. Do you believe that global leaders are conspiring to create a new world order? I'm not that much of a conspiracy theory. I think that it's heading in that direction, and a lot of them want this to happen. But at the same time, I don't believe in people sitting around in dark rooms and going, except George Soros. He does that. He goes, and he, you know, develops things that he wants to do. But I really am not one of these people that's that far over. Okay, but I do believe a new world order is coming, and it's based on people that are being trained in a certain way right now. They're being brought into that state of mind. Okay, 24, are you a climate denier? Absolutely not. I can tell you what, it's been cold in Sarasota the past couple of days, and that is climate. Okay, it's also sunny out right now, and that's climate, so I'm not really a climate denier. I do not deny the climate. I do deny that we are the ones that are causing these climate changes, but I'm not a climate denier. I'm just a denier of their version of climate change. So I guess I failed that too. 25, are you opposed to Agenda 21? You know what? I'm not going to get into that one. That is something that a lot of people love to push, and it's not one of the things that I have ever focused on. I find it completely unnecessary, but I guess you would say I am opposed to it. But why bother? 26, have you ever belonged to a militia group? Well, I belong to the U.S. military, and I don't believe in vaccination. So the people in the U.S. military that don't want to get vaccinated by this death shot are being kicked out. And so I suppose you could stretch that one and say, you know, I was in the military. I didn't like vaccinations, or I don't now, but I wouldn't have if I was in there. So I'm probably not a person that should be trusted. And so take me out of the military, but I'm still military because I signed the document, so I'm in a militia. I don't know. Whatever. They'll find a reason to count me in that. 27, are you worried about gun control? Oh, my goodness. You got to be kidding. Here, let me show you this. I got my right here, folks. I'm very worried about gun control. It's one of those things that keeps me up at night. Without the Second Amendment, we would have no First Amendment. The First Amendment is the most important amendment for our freedoms to begin, but the Second Amendment is actually the most important amendment, because if they take away our guns, then we will have no other freedoms in this nation. Gun control is the critical issue of this nation, and it always will be. When they start coming for guns, that is when this nation is going to go into real chaos. And it could be coming. They want to get this agenda done, folks, so we'll see what happens. 28, are you ever critical of the IRS? Huh, you got to be kidding me. Everybody is. I don't know a person on this planet that willingly says, I love the IRS. So I guess I'm guilty there. 29, do you ever visit extremist websites? Well, I read, you know, Breitbart, and I guess I am Breitbart. I got lots of them that I read, and I suppose that most of them would be considered extremist by these people. 30, have you ever attended rallies that promote extremist causes? I'm not a rally person, but I every year go down and say the prayer, the invocation prayer for the Sarasota Patriots, which means by default I attend extremist cause rallies, okay, because I gave the invocation prayer. 31, do you have right-wing bumper stickers on your vehicle? Well, I've got, no matter who is president, Jesus is King on there. I guess that would qualify. Let's see here. 32, would you consider yourself to be a nationalist? Well, I live in this nation. I believe in this nation, and I believe that this nation should have rights like defending the southern border. So I guess so. 33, do you believe that your way of life is under attack? Oh, yes. Oh, certainly. The Christian way of life is fully under attack, so I'm guilty of that. 34, would you consider yourself to be an opponent of critical race theory? A made-up theory that's based on lies? Yeah, I'm opposed to that. 35, are you a prepper? I have got a lot of cans of food in our garage lately. because I do believe the economy will tank at some point and we'll have, you know, cans of food to eat for a while. I'm not, you know, I'm not one of these guys that stuffs food everywhere and goes out and whatever. But I do have, I guess I would be considered a prepper because I do not prep with toilet paper. That's never interested me, okay? If you're one that does that, I have to question what you're thinking. There are other things that are more important than buying up all the toilet paper in a store, but whatever. 36, have you ever had any survivalist training? Well, absolutely. I was in the U.S. Air Force. They gave us an M16. They said, shoot, and it had 22 bullets in it. So it was like, ping, ping, ping. And guess what? The sight was so far off that I'm looking at the thing downrange, and I shot somebody right next to me. I mean, it was just terrible. Anyway, let's see here. What's the next one? 37, would you consider yourself to be a fundamentalist? Well, I hold to the fundamentals of this book for sure, the Holy Bible, and I also hold to the fundamentals of our nation based on the Constitution. So, yes, I am. I'm guilty of that. 38, you believe that religion should influence politics? Absolutely. The Supreme Court decision that is still on the books says, it's called the Trinity decision, and it says, this is a Christian nation. That's still on the books. That has never been overturned. And so, yes, I do hold to that. 39, are you anti-abortion? What, you mean taking little babies out of a mother's womb and tearing it into pieces and throwing it in the garbage dump? Yeah, I'm opposed to that. 40, are you a military veteran? Uh-oh. Yeah, I have to admit, I already said I was, and everybody knows it now. I even have my old camouflage military uniform. I threw all the other ones away, though. The dress blues and the military, the Air Force are gross, but I do have my camis. 41, do you believe in a right to bear arms? Well, we've already gone through that. I won't answer. 42, have you been involved in stockpiling ammunition? Well, that's really none of their business, but the fact is that I have, you know, a little bit of ammo for all 4,827 guns that I have. I'm making a joke, okay? Anyway, that's none of their business. They should not even be allowed to ask that. I'm talking about the government, not this guy. He's just telling you. 43, have you ever protested at an abortion clinic? Well, if you mean protested by standing outside of an abortion clinic and reading the Bible for a couple hours every Friday for a couple of years, yes, then I'm guilty of that. 44, do you have a negative opinion of the United Nations? 45, would you consider yourself to be an evangelical Christian? Boy, I'm really in trouble here, folks. 46, do you ever have questions about the legitimacy of our elections? Just scroll back a little bit in this video and that'll answer that. 47, have you lost faith in public health officials? Yes. 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 48, are you resentful when you are ordered to wear a mask? I'm not just resentful. It's just goofy. I'm not putting on those face diapers. That is absolutely crazy. Thank goodness for Ron DeSantis, who has said, we are not doing that nonsense in Florida. I got a diaper on my face and this goo coming out and it's catching it to protect everybody. Oh, let's see here. 49, we're getting close to the end, folks. Have you ever said anything negative about the big pharmaceutical companies? Well, indirectly, because I've read articles that are negative about them, but I will say this. The big pharmaceutical companies are in it for the money. They don't care if they kill people. They are bad entities. So I will say that now. 50, are you opposed to vaccine mandates? Well, I think he already asked that, and if he didn't, obviously you know the answer. So if you answered yes to none of these questions, you are exactly the kind of citizen that the federal government wants, and you have absolutely nothing to worry about. If you answered yes to between 1 and 10 of these questions, you have some anti-government tendencies. But if you are starting to watch CNN a lot more, you can still probably turn things around. If you answered yes to between 11 and 30 of these questions, you are clearly a troublemaker and you may be on your way to becoming a terrorist. You are going to need to watch endless hours of MSNBC and playing glowing documentaries about Dr. Fauci over and over again. That will be helpful as well. If you answered yes to between 31 and 50, I think I'm at 48, maybe 49 of them. Remember the school thing? I didn't do that. Of these questions, there is no hope. You are clearly a terrorist, and the government is eventually going to be coming for you. You know what? As long as they do and they kill me, I get to be with Jesus. Other than that, I'm not really interested in being in a gulag and eating all that gross food that they feed you, but Send me home to Dad. Okay, that's fine. From the Epic Times. January 6th, defendant says FBI tried to recruit him to spy on Oath Keepers. A retired U.S. Army Green Beret, arrested for being at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, says the FBI tried to recruit him to spy on the Oath Keeper group a few weeks before the violence at the Capitol. Jeremy M. Brown, 47, who was being held in the Pinellas County Jail on federal misdemeanor charges related to January 6, told the Epic Times he believes his arrest and prosecution are payback for his refusal to become a confidential informant to a group that didn't do anything wrong, and so they've now arrested him. Brown said he went to the Stop the Steal rally on January 6th dressed in tactical gear to provide security for event organizers and for VIPs who spoke at the rally. He said FBI agents from the Joint Terrorism Task Force met with him in late 2020 and asked him to become an informant. On December 11th, 2020, the exact same JTTF agents that later arrested me attempted to recruit me as a confidential informant, Brown said in a letter from the Pinellas County Jail. Their pitch was intended to gauge my interest in infiltrating law-abiding citizen groups that had no criminal history and certainly were not designated terrorist groups. The Oath Keepers is an association of former military, police, and first responders. Oh, those are all bad people. We got to check them out. Whose mission includes defending the U.S. Constitution and protecting constitutional rights. They are often described as right-wing militia or an anti-government paramilitary organization, labels the group rejects. Brown joined the Oath Keepers within a week of the November 2020 presidential election. I joined the Oath Keepers to help them on their path to doing their mission, which is to build an organization that has a community outreach to not only law enforcement and military, but also to citizens, Brown said. Brown said he recorded the FBI meeting for his own protection. He told the agents he wasn't interested in being an informant. Of course, I declined to pursue any offer from the agents and went on my way. Less than a week before he met with the FBI agents, Brown received a visit at his home by two agents who inquired about some things Brown posted on the social media site Parler. Brown later began an email correspondence with an FBI agent in Tampa and was asked to a meeting. Brown said he met with two agents on December 11th in a restaurant in Ybor City, Florida, and recorded, you know, Ybor City, Florida is where they used to make all of the Cuban cigars in Florida. Really cool place. Anyway, they still make them, but there's not many cigar makers left down there. Anyway, and recorded the interaction. Within less than a minute of the start of the meeting, one of the agents made an offhand reference to Brown possibly working with JTTF again. Later in the meeting, they made the pitch to him to be a confidential informant. The audio from the meeting can be heard on a 2-hour, 4-minute video of a podcast interview Brown did with Brandon Gray of JustAnotherChannel.com, posted on a website Brown set up for his legal defense. This is no better than the regime of Pol Pot at this point. They're going to be killing millions of Americans pretty soon if we don't get people elected into the government that actually are going to run this nation properly. We'll see what happens. Epic Times, Capitol security officials working to identify officers with extremist views. Yes, the Capitol security officials, the police there, they want to get rid of anybody with an extremist view. That means somebody that's white and doesn't think that being white is anything wrong. U.S. Capitol Police Chief Tom Manger and House Sergeant-at-Arms William Walker are working to identify and root out police officers who might pose insider threats. Has this ever been a problem in the history of this nation? No, not until this administration stepped in. That's what Walker said, that his office has developed an insider threat awareness program. The goal is to have police officers trained as insider threat specialists so we can recognize the signs and symptoms and indicators that someone's allegiance has changed. Walker's plan comes a year after the January 6th breach of the U.S. Capitol Police, which saw leaders who were in charge of the U.S. Capitol Police on that day ousted following criticism for intelligence and other failures. He said his office will brief the full Capitol Police Board, which oversees the department, on the plan in the coming months. I'm sure they're all Democrats and they need to be screened out of government. From RCI, cop who killed Ashley Babbitt, was cleared of criminal wrongdoing without an interview. When the U.S. Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd went on NBC Nightly News to tell his side of shooting and killing, murdering, unarmed January 6 rioter Ashley Babbitt, he made a point to note he'd been investigated by several agencies and exonerated for his actions that day. There's an investigative process, and I was cleared by the DOJ and FBI and the D.C. Metropolitan Police, he told NBC news anchor Lester Holt in August, adding that the Capitol Police also cleared him of wrongdoing and decided not to discipline or demote him for the shooting. Terry Roberts, Babbitt family attorney, says it's astonishing how skimpy his investigative file is. Byrd then answered a series of questions by Holt about the shooting, but what he told the friendly journalist, he likely never told investigators. That's because he refused to answer their questions, according to several sources and documents reviewed by Real Clear Investigations. In fact, investigators cleared Byrd of wrongdoing in the shooting without actually interviewing him about the shooting or threatening him with punishment if he did not cooperate with their criminal investigation. He didn't provide any statement to criminal investigators, and they didn't push him to make a statement, Babbitt family attorney Terry Roberts said. Roberts, who has spoken with the D.C. MPD detective assigned to the case, said the kid glove treatment of Byrd raises suspicions the investigation was a whitewash. Well, I don't think they should use that word whitewash because he's a black man, and that's not very racially tolerant. So we got to think of another name. Whitewash has to be thrown out. Somebody please write Real Clear Investigations. The Babbitt family has maintained that the rushed investigation amounted to a cover-up of misconduct by the officer. It says the federal probe was conducted under political pressure, arguing that Byrd was not put through the normal rigors of a police shooting investigation to avoid making a martyr of Babbitt, an avid Donald Trump supporter. That's what it all comes down to, right there. An Air Force veteran from California, Babbitt died while wearing a Trump flag as a cape. The former president has demanded the Justice Department reinvestigate her death. They aren't going to do that. We can be sure of that. Representative Troy Nels of Texas, a former sheriff, argued Babbitt's shooting should have been presented to a federal grand jury. This case was mishandled from the very beginning. I would say it was not mishandled. It was purposefully handled the way it was by traitors to our nation. In a separate letter to the Capitol Police Chief, Nels wrote, "Many officers in the USCP I have spoken to believe the investigations of Lieutenant Boyd were dropped because of his position and other political considerations." Well, let's see. He's black. He's a Democrat, so he gets a pass. He gets to murder an unarmed citizen of the United States of America, and it just doesn't matter. Zero Hedge, you know global elites are triggered when the propaganda institutions collaborate to refute mass formation psychosis. Apparently, big tech and big propaganda media Reuters and the Associated Press have joined together to refute the concept of mass formation psychosis. Remember, Malone said this a week or two ago, and everybody's now saying that's not true. That's nothing, okay? They got all these specialists that say that that's not part of psychology. And they push their collective narrative into the narrative engineering system. The AP and Reuters quickly rush to the fact check typeset to stop people from recognizing what is most likely the cause of their own psychosis. In a world where things are no longer shocking, this is, well, a little shocking, in a weird and seemingly Orwellian kind of way. From Zero Hedge, here it goes. Malone, this is after they came out and said this doesn't exist. Mass formation deployed on you after over 200 years of study. Now, before I read this article, you can go online to YouTube, and you can type in Academy of Ideas. And that guy there talks about this constantly. He cites people going way back, just like Malone is going to tell you. I'm just going to give you a little bit of this article. But Academy of Ideas, they're usually 8 to 15-minute videos, and they will tell you exactly what's going on in the minds of these people, because he has statements from people that were in the gulags, people that were persecuted by these people, people that were able to identify what is going on in the commie ideology. Okay, one of many examples here. Abridged from M. Desmet, The Psychology of Totalitarianism, Mass Formation Brief summary. So this is already something that's out there. I mean, he says mass formation brief summary, and they're saying that this doesn't even exist. Okay, totalitarianism is characterized by processes of large-scale mass formation. Four conditions are needed for large-scale mass formation. One, a large amount of people must feel alone and isolated. Sounds like last year, doesn't it? Two, their lives must feel pointless and meaningless. Remember, you're non-essential, you have to stay home. You're non-essential, you have to stay home. Guess who wasn't non-essential? Outdoor yard workers, like Charlie Garrett. I take care of a mall and a 7-Eleven on Siesta Key, and I mow some lawns, right? I was exempt. Why? Because rich people can pay people to have lawns mowed, and they don't want to interfere with grass. It gets too high. Okay? So their lives must feel pointless and meaningless. Anybody felt that way last year? You're not essential. You can stay home. You're not needed. Three, there must be high levels of free-floating anxiety. Oh, my gosh. My daughter went to school with a girl. No kidding. I don't even know if she's been out of her apartment yet. For an entire year, she sat in her apartment, and if somebody came to visit her, she would say, talk to me through the window. My daughter would come back from New York and go want to say hi. She wouldn't even let her in. She's so scared of this coronavirus that's going to kill her. And she's only just a kid, okay? Four, there must be high, and you know what? There's all these people still. They're all up in the lefty states, and they come down here. I see them driving their bikes, walking down the road all by themselves, not another person within a half a mile. Face masks on. That is some people that have been conditioned. That is mass formation psychosis. Four, there must be high levels of free-floating frustration and aggression. Boy, if you don't see that one, especially from the left in the past year, you are not paying attention. I got to tell you that right now. If under these conditions a narrative is distributed through the mass media which indicates an object of anxiety and provides a strategy to deal with this object of anxiety, then all the free-floating anxiety might be associated to this object and a huge willingness might be observed to participate in the strategy to deal with the object of anxiety. Booster shots, anybody? Fourth, fifth, 20th, 92nd booster shot? This is exactly what's been happening in the past year. At the same time, the field of attention gets narrower until it only contains the part of reality that is indicated by the narrative, and people lose their capacity to take into account the other aspects of reality, what makes them often utterly irrational. And that is what we see with the left. The right didn't buy into this quite as much. Some of them have, unfortunately, but for the most part, the left is out of control, and they are utterly irrational. And this has been fomented by the U.S. government and by other governments around the world. Chinese, they're behind this, all of these people, because they're all commies. They all want to have this global utopia, and so they are scaring their people into submission. They have proof of that having been done in the U.K. The people even admitted, we took this a little bit too far. I think they did that because they wanted to make it look like it wasn't their intent all along when it actually was. Breitbart. Professor Giordano blasts Democrat logic. Destroy democracy to save it. Democrats are using Democrat logic to save democracy through destroying it, warned Nicholas Giordano, a professor of political science and the host of the PAS Report, as he accused them of posing a threat to the country's political stability and blasted their use of the January 6th Capitol riot to advance their political agendas. Claiming there's going to be a red wave in the coming November midterms, Giordano warned that Democrats and their enablers in the media were already setting it up where those results should be questioned and challenged. Describing it as a slow-motion train wreck, Giordano said that exploitation of the Capitol riot by Democrats for nefarious purposes was bound to occur. Everyone knew that the Democrats were going to take advantage of what took place on January 6, where almost every single Republican and conservative universally condemned what happened. He also claimed that such exploitation is the impetus of the Justice Department's national strategy for countering domestic terrorism laid out by U.S. Attorney, communist, should-be-in-jail Attorney General Merrick Garland. They're using it to justify the government and the build-out of their surveillance state, he warned. And when you look at the words that were used when describing January 6, comparing it to 9/11 and Pearl Harbor and the Holocaust, Understand that those words were chosen carefully, claiming it's not likely they just slipped and they over-exaggerated, Giordano said. They went through speechwriters, people looked at those speeches, and then they approved them, loaded them into the teleprompter, and the politicians gave these speeches, and it's designed to empower the federal government to target political opposition. That's what we're seeing today, and that's actually the true threat to democracy that we're seeing, he added. In response to Garland saying last week on the eve of the first anniversary of January 6 that the Justice Department remains committed to holding all January 6 perpetrators at any level accountable under law, whether they were present that day or were otherwise criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy, Giordano cautioned that such broad terms could potentially extend to even those who simply question election results. If you question the election results, which I certainly do, you may be a domestic terrorist, but we've already gone through that list. From Breitbart, brother of Texas synagogue terrorist reveals Akram had a criminal record, questions why he was given a visa. Now, this guy was from outside the United States. England is outside. It's not part of the United States. Do you got that? Okay, so he came from there, and he had a criminal record. According to Inzamam Rashid, North of England correspondent on Sky News, Gulbar Akram said of his brother, he's known to police, got a criminal record. How was he allowed to get a visa and then acquire a gun? Well, now they're focusing, aren't they? I've heard this already. They're focusing on the gun angle. He had a gun. He's, you know, illegally obtained. Well, it ought to be, but they're focusing on the gun issue. What we should be focusing on is the lack of the government to properly vet people coming in. That's the problem here. And so the government set us up for a downfall with this guy coming in. Once again, it is an insurrection of the government against the people of the United States of America. Okay, very disappointing report today, I'm sure. You're probably about to go commit suicide or something. Don't do that. Okay, don't do that. The Lord is good. He is good all the time. It's a little bit depressing to hear these things, but I want you to be aware. And one thing you need to know is that everybody keeps thinking somebody's going to do something. Somebody's going to do something. And pretty soon, all of these little things will be in place, and nobody will have done anything, and it will be over. Okay? That's the way it is, because people are normally decent enough to not go and try to overthrow their government with guns and stuff, something that did not happen last January 6th. Okay? We tend to trust that the process will work. And I want you to know that it probably will not work in the future. We are probably doomed to experience what the Russians went through after the Tsar was shot in the head and all of his kids, and they went and got their little commie revolution and took over. We're probably going to have something like that in this nation. And a lot of people are going to be rounded up and put in gulags, or just rounded up and, you know, ended. But that's the way of the world. And if you have a hope in Jesus Christ, that transcends this world. So I want to read you something that I thought was pertinent today. This is Psalm 58, and it's actually a psalm of imprecation. A psalm of imprecation is a psalm that actually asks the Lord to destroy the enemies of the Lord. And so I thought that we would read this, Psalm 58. Now, this is not a part of the psalm, but this is what the New King James translators, or New King James Version translators, said about the psalm, the just judgment of the wicked. So that's not a part of the psalm, but that's just their evaluation of the psalm. And the title of the psalm is To the Chief Musician, Set to Do Not Destroy, a Michtam of David. Do you indeed speak righteousness, you silent ones? Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? No. In your heart you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Think of the people on the left right now. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops its ear, which will not heed the voice of charmers, charming ever so skillfully. Break their teeth in their mouth, O God. Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them flow away as waters which run continually when he bends his bow. Let his arrows be as if cut in pieces. Let them be like a snail which melts away as it goes. Think of that little Democrat walking along and just melting on the street as he goes. And pretty soon there's just a pile of goo All right. Like a stillborn child of a woman that may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the burning thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, as in his living and burning wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges in the earth. He's a great God. He will allow this wickedness to continue for a certain amount of time, and that's to fulfill all of his plans and his purposes. One of them is to bring Israel, the nation, back to himself. And all these things have to happen in order for that to occur. We may get caught up in the bad things that happen, and that'll be the end of us. Big deal. If you know Jesus Christ, what we have here, listen, I feel so miserable right now, and I'm not nearly as miserable as my poor wife. My goodness, she's just been out of it for the past couple days. And last night at 11:42, I woke up and I said, oh boy, I think I got this. All right. Who wants to be here? Okay. If they come and they say, we're going to shoot you in the head today, I'm going to be like, well, you know, it'll probably be a little better where I'm going with Jesus. Don't panic about these things. Don't let them get you down. You have a rock that they do not have. You have a life that is temporary and you're going to die. We're all going to die. So don't worry about that. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the good things that God has planned for the redeemed of the Lord. Okay? And remember that God will wipe out the wicked. We're going to see it and we're going to behold it. In the meantime, you have a job is to tell people about Jesus. It's to pray for people that even you find appalling. Okay? That is our job. It's a hard thing to do, but we should be doing it. But most of all, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He went to the cross for us. We should at least live for him. Let us do that today. Let us acknowledge the one who came to die for our sins. Thank God for Jesus Christ. And so from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG report.